But it was in the Lord's plan. You could ask the wife, I tried not to do this week, and it kept coming back to me. And so my theme is, Lord, I surrender. And so we're going to swing the sword again today. We're going to speak the word, swing the sword. And the sword of the Spirit, which is? The word of God. And he's given you an offensive weapon. It's an offensive weapon to attack with. And so I'm excited to share with you about this, and I've got so much to cover. I'm going to kick off right now, and we'll just go for it. I just want to remind you, I don't have to remind you if you're aware. It's like we're in a war. Now, I want to tell you something. I think you're going to hear a testimony, part of a testimony today. It'll be more coming probably in the near future. But, you know, Pastor Rich is very, very important to our church, very important to me and our leadership team. And I want to tell you, you know, the enemy hates him because he represents the Lord, because he loves Jesus, because he's a human. The enemy hates him. And the enemy tried to take him out this week. The enemy actually attacked him with a blood infection disease that kills people. And I want to tell you, it was a surprise, and it you know, but the enemy can hit you blindsided. You know, he don't fight fair. And but I want to tell you something. Just like we saw during COVID, when we were praying for people not to get it, number one, and believing that if our people did get it, we would immediately rebuke it, renounce it, and pray that they would have an ease of symptoms and a quick recovery. And I'll tell you what, that's the testimony of a lot of people. It's just so exciting. Well, I want to tell you, we saw that happen in his life this week. Because even the specialist, the blood infectious specialist, was shocked that he didn't have any of the severe symptoms that always comes with this attack, with this infection in the blood. And he had none of them. But I'll tell you what happened, and I just love the Lord for this, is that not only did the Lord protect him and raise him up, because he's right here this morning, been in the hospital all week, he's here this morning. But I want to tell you something. Not only did the Lord protect him and give him back to us, so to speak, but also gave him some rest this week, gave him some time, because I want to tell you, between his job, the severe things that are happening with his job that's making him dance on tiptoes, and plus two daughters that are making life decisions, and you know, a wife that's a tremendous blessing. But I want to tell you something. With all of that, you know what? When you get a storm going in one direction, it's one thing, but if you have like three storms going on, and one of them's pretty major, you know, you can feel overwhelmed. Well, I want to tell you what God did. God gave him a week of rest to seek him, time to seek him. And you know what? When I went to see him this week, not only did I see a miracle of a man that was divinely protected, but I also saw a pastor that was revived of heart. Now, that's not bad. You get attacked by the enemy. The enemy tries to take you out. And not only does God spare you, but God revives your heart. And so the enemy tried to take him out, and the enemy's lost two or three times because we have a pastor that has a revived heart. Come on, somebody. That's the way the Lord can operate. But it's a fresh reminder. You get reminded on a regular basis, right, that we are in a war. Well, I want to tell you, the Lord didn't leave us in a position where that we're not protected, because we are protected, but he also left us in a position where we have weapons of our warfare that are mighty, not carnal, that are mighty against the powers and works of darkness. And one of those is like when Jesus said, it is written, and he confessed the Logos, the Word of God, against the enemy, then I want to tell you, it's our picture that he shows us in the New Testament, that the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And you know what? He's given us the Word of God to confess and to swing the sword. And so I'm just going to talk to you about the power of that. I'm going to remind you of the theme verse for this. Very, very short two-sermon series. 2 Corinthians 4:13, yet we have the same spirit of faith as he had who wrote, I have believed, and therefore I have spoken. You see, this is, I've explained, this is one of the ways of God. And so we need to cooperate. And even if we don't understand it all, we need to start practicing it and trust the Lord for greater revelation in it. But it says, I have believed, therefore I have spoken. We too believe, therefore we speak. This is Old Testament, New Testament. And so it's a beautiful picture. Mark 11 says this, and this is kind of a just to show you that the Lord designed us and he taught us. Remember, when the Lord was operating on earth, you've heard me say this over and over, but I want to remind you, when the Lord was operating on earth, he was showing us how to respond to Father in a human body, because that's what he did. And so he was showing us the ways of God and how to cooperate and operate as humans filled with the Spirit, submitted to God. And so I want to tell you, it's beautiful. We see this in Mark chapter 11. In the morning when they were passing along, they noticed the fig tree was withered. Now, what had happened the day before is that on the way in that afternoon, as they were going into Jerusalem, coming back, they were staying in like in Euless, and the operation was in Fort Worth. They were coming to a bedroom community is the way I explain it. So even though they were in Jerusalem, they would come outside of Jerusalem to spend the night. And so this is what happened. Jesus was hungry, came up on a fig tree that had leaves. Now, in that world, it's not like this in Texas, but in that world, when the fig trees have leaves, it means they're supposed to have figs already. Okay, and so Jesus looked at this fig tree and it had leaves, and he goes up to it to get a snack, and there was no figs. And you say, well, what's the big deal? Well, I want to tell you what the big deal is. It wasn't just that there wasn't any figs and Jesus was aggravated because he didn't get a snack. It wasn't that kind of thing. It was the fact that this fig tree was lying. Okay? It was promoting and presenting that, you know what? Hey, I have figs. And the truth was, the tree didn't have figs. So it was a lying fig tree. Now I want to tell you one of the things God hates. There's about seven things. There are seven things witness in Scripture that God hates. But one of them is a lying tongue. Because a lie is always associated with the enemy. Because he's the liar. And so let me just rush in to say this. If you're lying, you're cooperating with the enemy. You're saying what he said. Because he's all about deception. He's about a lie. That's why we teach our children, do not lie. That's why I told my boys, my staff's heard me say it. Look, if you blow it, come tell me. I'm going to cover you. I'm going to stand beside you. I'm going to help you. But you lie to me, it's on. Okay, we don't do that. All right? And so my boys understood that pretty well. That's why they'd come running to confess some things immediately when it happened, because they saw the benefit of that. But I'm just trying to tell you, Jesus was against lying. And he had just got through dealing with religious leaders in Jerusalem that were living a lie. That was the whole thing. You say, well, Jesus, he was very kind to the prostitutes, had compassion on the tax stealers. Okay, but let me tell you something. When it came to the religious leaders, some of the hardest and harshest words that ever came out of his mouth were against the religious leaders of that day. This is the reason why. They were pretenders. They were liars. They spoke one thing but lived another. And Jesus would point that out to them. And so I'm here to say to you that he is against that. And so when Jesus dealt with this lying fig tree, he rebuked it. That's what we're supposed to. He's showing us something. Listen. You come across lies every day. You come across situations that are not true as far as principles or the way people operate or what people say or what comes against in your life. But I want to tell you something. It's very, very clear. I covered it last week that he's designed you, whatever weapons formed against you, you're to resist it. And one of the great ways to resist it is to swing the sword and renounce the lie and speak truth. There's a lot of power when you voice it, voice activation. And it's just amazing how it happens. But I'm sharing with you that this is what happened here. And so Jesus rebuked that fig tree. And of course, the disciples were taking it all in. They come back the next morning and the tree is completely dead. I mean, Bible's clear from the roots up, it's completely dead. And you say, well, what happened to it? Jesus used his words of authority to renounce a lie. And so I'm telling you, we have authority. There is power in your words, especially when you agree with God, when you have it in your heart and you speak it out of your mouth. I want to tell you, authority is released. That's why we talk about the promises of God are voice activated. When you resist the enemy, you don't even just think it, you speak it. And he needs to be resisted. And so I'm trying to show you this. And then the next verse says this, truly I tell you, because I want to tell you something. They were shocked. I mean, they were excited. Okay, and Jesus replied to them, have faith in God constantly. In other words, this is it. This is not just something to do when you get in a 911 crisis. Now, if you're in one, do this. But I want to tell you something. Jesus is showing you that this is to be a way of life and not just a rescue mission. I want to tell you what happens to that. There are people who wait till there's a crisis and they'll say, oh man, I really need to seek God. Right. Now I want to tell you something. He can be found because he's got compassion on you and he's got mercy on you. You cry out to him, he'll answer. But I want to tell you something. Sometimes people find themselves in a process because their heart's been away from God. They have other issues in their heart. They have other priorities in their life. They have emotions that are completely opposite, and they feel like that those emotions are a greater reality than the Word of God, and so they're not been operating by faith. And so, but when something big happens, they want to catch it. Well, I'm just going to announce something to you, that the Lord designed us to walk in faith, not just call on faith when there's a crisis. Again, if you're in crisis, do that. But God's designed you to walk in it. One of the best ways to face a crisis in faith is to be walking in faith before the crisis happens. If you practice receiving from the Lord in the little things, in the little skirmishes, in the little battles, then when a storm shows up in your life, you're already tuned in. You're already convinced of the working of God, the power of God, the love of God in your life. You're walking into peace of God already, and it's a whole lot easier, my friend, because you're walking in the grace of God to respond by faith. All right, I'm just trying to help you. Okay, let's let this be a way of life and not just a 911. Don't let, look, Jesus can be your 911, but don't let him be just that. He wants to be your daily shepherd. Man, that's so important. Truly, I tell you, he's speaking in the same vein. I tell you, whoever thinks to this mountain. Oh, okay. All right, thank you for listening to the sermon series, this short sermon series. Whoever speaks to the mountain, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea. It's not the type of thing that you look at the mountain, you say, please leave me alone. Please don't hurt me. No, I'm telling you, you have authority in Christ. A lot of people don't know that they have a sword. Hey, I'm telling you, this is authority. Matter of fact, I was preaching on this line in another church, and I was swinging the sword a little bit, and a guy comes up to me after service. He said, do you mind if I touch your weapon? And I well, you know, this is like real, but I couldn't help it. You know, I love to mess with people. I said, yes you can, but be careful and not cut yourself. Well, he walks over and very gently lifts it up and goes, he was so disappointed that it's a toy. Well, I couldn't resist that. But I want to tell you what. The weapon that got the sword of the Spirit is not a toy. It's a double-edged sword. And it can accomplish a whole lot more than what you can see with your physical eyes. Because it operates in this spiritual realm. And it's so exciting. And it has great, powerful effect. But you have the authority to speak that. And so this is what happens. This is what he says. We have authority. You tell the mountain what to do. I know there's a tendency for us to run to God and say, there's a mountain. There's a mountain over there. Well, God's already dealt with that. He's given you authority. He's given you faith. He's given you his word. And so it's your turn. He's done his part with Jesus on the cross. Jesus said, it's finished. The Bible says he's taken away the very power of the enemy to harm you. That puts you in pretty good shape. The victory of Christ has caused, it's our inheritance. We're an heir. It's our inheritance to be a victor and overcomer. That's what Jesus has done for us. And so he's given us the weapons of warfare. He's given us the spiritual armor. And he says, let's go conquer. But I'm telling you, it's our turn because he's given us the authority to go do this in his name. Is that exciting? I'm telling you, we get to do the stuff. We don't have to be a victim. And so we speak to the mountain. Now, I know you want to run to God, tell him about the mountain. God already knows. God's already done something about it. And so what he's telling us is that now you go do it. You go rebuke the mountain in my name. I've given you authority. By faith, agree with me. Give me a yes. Submit to me. Resist the mountain. Tell it where to go and what to do. Mountain, be lifted up, be thrown into the sea. I say it like this. Get off my porch and go swimming. Okay? Now look, this doesn't work by just hiring a Boy Scout to repeat this. Because it's got to be faith in your heart. It's got to be, this truth needs to be implanted in your heart. Okay, so it's ignited. Hope is painted on your heart. When you're in receiving the love of the Lord and the Word, the Holy Spirit paints hope in your heart and shows you hope in your heart of what God wants to do and what God can do and what you're going to look like as a result of it. And so then, I want to tell you that hope ignites faith. And so I'm telling you, and it's not a weak faith, it's a strong faith because it's Jesus' faith. And I want to tell you, you take that faith, that hope, that love, and you know what? You address it with the Word of God and you tell it where to go and what to do. There was a ministry in East Texas that I was communicating with about 2 years ago. And I told him, I said, look, you know, it was on a Tuesday afternoon. I said, look, I got to go. I'm fixing to start the Mountain Movers meeting, and I'm excited about it, and I got to go. They said, wait, Pastor. What is a Mountain Movers meeting? I said, that's a prayer meeting. They asked me point blank, well, you can't move mountains. I said, wait a minute. Not in Tim, but in Jesus. Okay? They said, oh. I said, well. I said, we're not waiting on Jesus to move the mountain because he's told us to go do it, to speak to it, to swing the sword, to take authority over the mountain. And I said, you know what? It says for us to speak to it, us to say to it, us to renounce it, us to rebuke it by faith, and it'll go. That's what God's word said. Is God's word true? Yes. Thank you for agreeing with me on that. And not doubt at all in his heart. Let me tell you about doubt. It's unbelief. I know people want to call it little faith. No, it's not little faith. I want to tell you, you got big faith. You got more than enough faith. Even if it's just enough, even if it just looked like a mustard seed, it's Jesus kind of faith. So it's way more than enough to accomplish and do whatever needs to be done. And so I'm announcing to you, hey, does not doubt at all in his heart. I want to tell you, doubt, speculation, unbelief, it's all connected. They hold hands. But believes. See, that's from the heart. Not just hiring a Boy Scout to repeat it. There's not any power in that. But a person that believes it in their heart and they say it, what he says will take place. It will be done for him and all the people said. Amen. Okay, I think that's all I got time for. There is another verse, but I'm gonna move right along. Okay, I'm gonna give you a couple examples. One of the most amazing miracles I got to be a part of was in Central America, and I was doing a crusade in a mountain town. It was way up in the bush, up in the mountains there in Central America, and where they grew oranges for the United States, actually, for orange juice. But man, it's so precious what God was doing. The little national pastor said, the Lord wants us to make a visit today. I said, okay. So man, we drive. I had bought the little village a truck. It was the only vehicle in the village. I spent $250 I ever spent. I bought a truck for this village. And so they painted it, hand-painted it blue. It was beautiful. And they used coat hangers and tape, make it all together. But I'm telling you, it worked. And it was so exciting to see that little truck go up and down that little mountain road. And they come back and it'd be completely covered. That truck be completely covered with bodies, you know. It would be considered so illegal here, but they were so excited. And running and getting people for church, it was so precious. But I want to tell you something. We went as far as we could in that truck, had to stop because what was left was just a little trail. And we're walking down that trail, and as I'm walking down this trail, the pastor hadn't told me anything about the person we're going to visit, but as walking down this trail, I hope you understand what I'm saying, is that there was an evil presence that came against us in that jungle. Now, the pastor had already told me that I had made the local witch doctor very, very mad, and that he was making all kind of curses against me, and I just said, well, bring it on, you know, because we don't have to fear. Because of the power of Jesus is greater than the power of darkness. Jesus defeated darkness, all the people said. And so I said, well, just bring it on. But anyway, as I'm walking down that trail, there was a real manifestation of an evil presence that all of a sudden came on that jungle trail. And so I stopped, the pastor stopped, and I said, do you sense what I'm sensing? He said, there's a problem. And I said, no, it's an answer. And I just, right there on the trail, took authority over the powers and works of darkness, confessed the blood of Jesus, pled the blood of Jesus, and declared the victory of the Lord, and commanded that presence to leave. Now I want to tell you, the pastor was a witness. I wish he was here today. He'd tell you that all of a sudden, that oppression and that fear and that darkness that came against us all of a sudden just left. Just like when Jesus rebuked the storm, all of a sudden peace. And so, you know, and then we proceeded on down the trail. And we get up to the little man's, they call them man's. It's a little house built on stilts, kind of like a deer stand, to be honest with you. And they do that to keep the animals and snakes out of the house because it's in the jungle, it's in the bush. And so I'm easing up that little stairway because I'm probably the heaviest person that's ever walked up them stairs, them rickety-type stairs. And so I'm trying to ease up there. And I get up to the little porch, and when I looked at the man was sitting down on a chair. And so he's sitting down, and we get up there, and they're speaking Creole. And even though I got to where I could understand it some, I couldn't speak it. So the pastor was interpreting what I was saying to him. I began to witness to him, shared with him about Jesus, and he's smiling already. And when it came to the place, would you like to receive Christ? He said, yes. And the pastor said, he's ready. And I said, he can't be ready. It was too easy. And I said, let's go back over it again. So I went back over it again, the whole thing. You know, how to receive Christ, submit, surrender to the Lord, confess he's Lord. And I went back through it again. And I said, now ask him if he's willing to give his life totally to Jesus, surrender his life. And the pastor said, he says yes. I said, okay. The pastor said, let him be saved, evangelist. I said, okay. And so we prayed and he received Christ. And just as soon as he got through praying to receive Christ, because he's still sitting down on the chair there on the porch, as soon as he got through praying to receive Christ, he jumped up like this and hollered. Great release of joy. And he hugged his pastor. And they were hugging and they were celebrating together. And I was too, but I wasn't dare going to dance on that little porch. And they get through hugging there after a while and it's beautiful. And the pastor asked me, do you understand what happened? And I said, well, yeah. The guy received Christ. He said, yes, he did, but there's more than that. And I said, what it is? And he said, the man has related that last night in a dream. See, they didn't have cell phones. There were no cell phones. He said, last night he had a dream. And the Lord showed up in his dream and told him that a white man was going to come to his man's for the first time. Never been a white man to his house. That a white man was going to come and tell him about me. Tell him about Jesus. He was going to tell this man about Jesus, and he was to accept Jesus to be saved, and that Jesus would heal him on his salvation. Now, I didn't know it. The pastor didn't give me information, but this man that was sitting down in a chair on top of the porch there, he got wounded when he was a baby. And ever since he was a baby, he couldn't stand up and couldn't walk. And so for his whole life, he was known by the whole area as the bent over man. Because when he walked, he had to walk way bent over like this. And this is the way he would travel. And whenever he'd get somewhere, he would sit down so he could look up and see people. And he was known as the bent over man. That was his name. So sure enough, see, I didn't know this. But sure enough, when we prayed and he received Christ, just like the Lord told him in a dream, he was ready. And I want to tell you, just as soon as he got through praying, the Lord healed him at the same time, and he jumped up for the first time. He jumped up, and he was able to walk and to celebrate like a stand-up man, not a bent-over man. And so it was a great testimony that went out through the whole area, and I don't know how they do it. They call it the bush line because there was no phones. But word spread all over the area about Jesus healed the bent-over man, and now he was the stand-up walking man. And sure enough, he was. And I'll tell you what, there was great crowds that took place after this, and a lot of people received Christ. It was beautiful. But as I was sharing this testimony with some pastors in a little pastor's conference, one of the pastors pointed out to me, he said, you know, brother, if you had not taken authority over the powers of darkness and rebuked and resisted the enemy on that trail, then what took place at that house may not have ever happened. Now, I want to tell you, I didn't have enough foresight to see that. He pointed that out to me. And so for the first time, I thought, wow, man, it was more than one miracle took place that day. More than two miracles, actually three miracles. Because I want to tell you, when you speak the word, like what the Bible says, and you resist the enemy flees. You tell the word of God. You tell with the word of God. You swing the sword of the Spirit, and the enemy's got to leave. And I want to tell you, salvation's a miracle. It's the greatest miracle. And I want to tell you something. Healing's a miracle. You know what all the miracles are? They're manifestations of God's love in your life. And so he loves to do that. So how exciting is that? I was, at one time, I had a youth workers intern program. And so I was developing and training youth pastors and helping them get in churches. And this denomination that was primarily the denomination that I was working with, they were kind of using me like a troubleshooter. There wasn't any official title. It's just that if a church was in conflict, or especially a staff situation, or a youth pastor had messed up with the youth group and done some things he shouldn't have done, then they would send me in to that church to just be a help. It's not that I was somebody mighty or anything. I would just go in and be a helper. And so I didn't know it because the director of this association sent me to a church down in South Texas. And he didn't tell me anything about it. He said, I need you to be there. I want you to go and minister the word. And this is on a Wednesday night. I think it was on a Wednesday night. And so I'm thinking, man, I'm going a long ways for a Wednesday night, but I love Jesus. I love people. I'm going to go do it. Traveled a long ways to get there. And I had a little trouble with direction. You know, this is for GPS. I had a little trouble for direction because this was out in the country. And so I wasn't as early as I like to be. Come on, saints. So I arrived there right before service time. Now, what I did not know, what this director, associational director, didn't tell me is that this church was in a big fuss fight. They were fussing and fighting. I mean, tell you, it was serious. And matter of fact, when I got there, I was so excited because the parking lot was overpacked with cars. And I'm thinking, boy, this is going to be exciting to go into this church. They're excited about this tonight. We're going to have some special meeting tonight. Boy, they're excited about Jesus. Well, man, just as soon as I walked in the front door, I sensed the atmosphere. You know, there's an atmosphere in church. Thank God you loving on Jesus and loving on people, because visitors that come to this church, they say, you know what? Real. Love's there, and it's real. Now, that means a lot. Heaven celebrates that. But I walk in there and I could just sense, man, the anger, the bitterness, the resentment. You know what that's like, because it's been in some of your homes. Well, churches have atmosphere. Homes have atmosphere. I want to announce to you, people have atmosphere. And so out of the abundance of the heart of a man, issues of life. Life speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart of a home, life speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart of a church, life speaks. And it's atmosphere. And so, man, I sense, oh my. Boy, it wasn't before cell phones, but if I'd had a cell phone, I'd have called that guy. Not giving me a clue. And so the next thing I know, I'm up in front of the church. Boy, they pass it off to me pretty quick. And this is what the Lord had me do, because I'm crying out to the Lord. Oh, Lord, what am I going to do here? And this is what he told me. He said, I want you to use those confessions of a new creation, those confessions of Scripture. I want you to, let's spend some time confessing those tonight. Because I want to tell you something. There's power in the Word of God. And so I want to tell you, I stood up and I said, I know you may not be here for Jesus, but I am. And we're going to honor the Lord, and we're going to do it together. And so I just made a little announcement then, and I said, repeat after me. Let's just do what I told them. Repeat after me. I'm the salt of the earth. I'm the light of the world. What I say in faith, without doubt, I get. It is written. I ask and receive. I seek and find. I knock and the door is opened unto me. I believe I have eternal life. Thank you, Lord. I have passed from death unto life. It is written. Out of my innermost being flows rivers of living water. Now, I want to tell you, I took about probably about 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and that's all we did. But I want to tell you what the Lord showed me. This was in the spirit, okay? I didn't see it in the physical. I saw it in the spiritual, in the spirit, in the invisible, but it happened. It manifested in the visible. I saw the Word of God, the power of the Word of God, acting like an air filter in that atmosphere. And sucking up and soaking up all the bad atmosphere and releasing kingdom atmosphere. Now that's the power of the Word of God. I'm announcing something to you. You got a bad attitude? The Word of God is more powerful than your bad attitude. Hey, I want to tell you something. You got confusion, disruption, disturbance in your home? The Word of God can change the atmosphere in your home. There's power in the Word of God. Your workplace, you better believe it. Your church, you better believe it. And I want to tell you, we have the authority and the power of God to confess His Word. And so I want to tell you, an amazing thing happened that night. I can't tell you all about it. But by the time I got through, and I stopped because the Lord hadn't given me anything else, so I was just standing there like this. Everything got real quiet. Somebody started weeping. Somebody else was sobbing over here. I looked up and looked around, and there was tears. And I want to tell you, I just had a few things to share, just a few sentences to share and encourage people to cast your care upon the Lord. Love on the Lord and let the Lord love on you and love on each other. Just a simple direction like that. And the next thing I know, revival was in the place. Now, I'm not talking about me preaching loud and something happening. No, I'm talking about people coming from one side over to the other side and hugging on one another, loving on one another. And I want to tell you, there was great repentance in the house, people forgiving each other. And I want to tell you something. I had very little to do with it. It was the Spirit of God. But I saw the power of the Word of God change atmosphere. I want to tell you, that's just beautiful to me. I had never gotten over that. Whenever Jesus tells us, see, He told the disciples, whenever you enter a home, you speak the power of His peace into that home. And so when I walk, this happens when I walk into your house. You probably recognize it, but I walk into your house or any home, I walk in there and I'll say, great grace and peace be on this house. Shalom, peace to be on this house. And I want to tell you what Jesus said. Hey, if that's received, given back to you, ministry of the kingdom's own. If they don't receive that, they're not going to receive you. He said, if they don't receive my word, my blessing, they're not going to receive you. And so it's best for you to go somewhere where they will. Okay, I'm just saying to you. Somebody asked the other day, they said, well, why ain't Pastor Tim been to see me? This was a situation in the past. Why hadn't Pastor Tim been to see me? And somebody asked me, and I just told him, I said, I'm not going there because they showed me a lot of disrespect. They renounced what I said and told me up front, they're not going to listen to what I say and they're not about to do what I say. And they just wanted me to come over to their house so I could be the doormat to unload their dump truck. Well, you know, I got compassion for them. I spent years loving on these people, but I want to tell you, I got compassion. But you know what? I need to spend my time with folk that are going to receive. If they don't respect you, they're not going to respect what you say. And so I'm just sharing some things with you. But man, you walk into a place, you speak peace on it. You walk to meet with people, you speak peace. I want to tell you how much I'm convinced of this. Before I get out of my vehicle to go into a store to do some shopping, I'm speaking peace. I'm asking for anointing. I'm asking for divine favor. And when I walk into a store, I do it. Great grace and peace, Lord, on this place. Now, I don't make a scene about it. Great grace and peace on this place. I can't tell you how many times I've walked into a place. I've seen this at Richie's shop. He's already speaking blessing. You know, he's anointed his shop. You ever hear of somebody doing that? He anointed his shop with oil and spoke blessing over it. But I love it. I can go to his place, and he's got a busy place, but there's been a few times that I walk in there and nobody's there. I mean, the little waiting room is nobody in there. I walk in, grace and peace on this house, and I speak blessing on the guys that are there. And I want to tell you, it just a few minutes later, you know what? Other people are walking in there and filling up the room. What do you call that? I call it the favor of God. I call it the power of blessing. I want to tell you, we've got authority. There was you know, most of you know I've had trouble with my carburetor here, with the heart, in the past. I've had trouble with it. And there was a period of time where I'd be trying to mow the yard out here, and this was when it was just a little Honda push mower, and, you know, it's almost 3 acres of land here. But, man, there was a period of time that it took me 3 days to do it because I'd have to walk a while, mow a while, and I had to come back and rest, and, man, I was just having some trouble. Well, it came to an appointed appointment with the carburetor doctor. I've got doctors to look after about every organ. But, you know, when I went to see him and he did the little test, you know what they do? He said, uh-oh. He said, I'm sending you to a specialist. And he said, I'm going to call and make an appointment for you, and we're getting you in immediately. And I went to this specialist, and he said, uh-oh. And he said, we need to do a procedure on you. And I said, well, when are we looking at? Because I'm thinking calendar. He said, next week. We can't wait. And so what ended up happening, they go in to do this procedure, and it doesn't work. And he said, if this don't work, we're going to have to cut you wide open. And I said, what is it? He said, you got a complete blockage. And he said, this can't wait. And so the next thing I know, they sent me to Plano Heart Hospital, and they said the state champion's there, the guy that whenever other people have trouble with the carburetor, they can't get a breakthrough and the blockage, they send them to him. And so people come from all over the state and other states to see this state champion because he's real good at it. And so the next thing I know, I'm at Baylor Heart Hospital. And so they have me in this room, and I could see that there was a group of them in there talking, and they're looking at the screen and all this. And one of the doctors came out. I didn't know she was a doctor because I'd met the state champion. And she come out, and she said, I'm your doctor. And I said, whoa, wait. No, the state champion, I see him in there. He's going to work on me. She said, no, you got two doctors. You got two surgeons at the same time. And I said, why are we doing that? Because you got a complete blockage. It's the widowmaker. And it's a miracle that you're still alive right now. But he's going to go in from one end. I'm going in from the other end. And we're going to roto-rooter this blockage at the same time. And if that don't work, we got to cut you wide open today. I said, well, help yourself. And you know what? They did it and it worked. And the state champion came to see me later, tell me I could go home, come to see me later that day, and he said, you know, this was, we just don't see this. Matter of fact, he said, we took video of it. He said, the Black Widow always gets its victim. And he said, do you understand what I'm talking about? And I said, yeah, I hear you. He said, I don't think you understand. He said, we've got pictures and video of this. Your heart actually grew an extra artery around that blockage in order to keep you alive. He said, and this is what he said. He's an unbeliever. He said, somebody up there must really, really like you. And I said, no, he don't like me. He loves me, and I'm his favorite. Okay, now I know that might sound a little bold to you, but I want to tell you something. You know, I'm going to preach on that real soon about how that you're favorite of God. And you can actually say, like John said, that you're his favorite, okay, and it pleases him. So that was quite a miracle. Well, you know, before that happened, I'll back you up just a few weeks before that happened. And one night I was having trouble sleeping. And so I got in a recliner right by the bed there, and I'm in a recliner, and I'd fallen back to sleep. And you know how the enemy attacks it, Rich, can he just attack you blindsided? Well, the next thing I know, I'm having a heart attack in that chair. And man, all the symptoms are there. I mean, the pressure, the pain, nausea, and I want to tell you, everything just absolutely just froze up, and I couldn't breathe. And I knew that this was the enemy trying to kill me. Oh, he'd like to kill me. He'd like to kill you too. But I want to tell you something. It was everything I could do to just speak. And I was trying. You ever had a dream where you're trying to speak and couldn't? Well, it was this kind of thing. And so what came out of me, because I didn't have time to sit there and think it all through, you know, wonder about it, pray about what I should do. No, it just came out. But I was having trouble saying it. And it, Jesus' name, I am healed by his stripes. I'm healed. And the next thing you know, there was complete release. Now, I personally think that that's when that artery grew around, that blockage. I don't know. I'm not a doctor or son of a doctor, and I couldn't see on the inside. I can't prove that. But I'm just telling you. But that's the way the Lord can work. There's power in your words. I could have said, I'm dying. Hello. First lady, be a richer woman in one way. But I'm just telling you, you have authority. Are you going to speak life or speak death? Because there's power in your words. And there was another time, and you know, I've had surgeries on both these shoulders. And there was another time that, man, I tweaked one of them. And this surgeon said, boy, you, whatever you do, don't you dare hurt one of these shoulders again. He said, I had to go to extreme to tie you together. And if you hurt one, you're not going to want to know what's going to happen next. And I said, well, okay. But anyway, I did. I tweaked one of the shoulders. Now, you know, if you haven't ever had injuries or surgeries on a particular part of your body, you may not know what's happening, but I had injured that shoulder. And so I'm sitting on the couch in there, and I'm thinking, because all kind of fear wants to come, right? And I said, Lord, I'm yours, and I just want to speak healing on my shoulder, and I just refuse this injury. I renounce this injury in Jesus' name. And the Lord whispered to me, and you know what he said? Now see, he can apply this in different ways because it's just by faith. But what he told me to do was to start praying for shoulders immediately. And so the next thing I know, I'm on the phone calling people, who do you know needs their shoulder prayed for? Who can I pray for? Whose shoulder's hurting? And so I got a couple names called, prayed over their shoulder. Now look, I can't explain it. But when I was praying over other shoulders, my shoulder got better when I was praying for other shoulders. And I want to tell you, by the time it was over with, you know what? I had complete motion without pain. Now, I want to tell you, I don't just take a surgery every time a doctor whispers that I need one, because I've walked away from two knee surgeries. And but I know what an injury's like. I played enough ball because that's where I hurt those knees. I know what injury is, and I injured one of my knees when I was out mowing at the beautiful blonde's house. And I injured one of my knees, and so I'm kind of limping in there, and I get on the couch, and I'm saying, Lord, I don't have time for this. I don't want this. And, you know, so I'm crying out to the Lord, and I take authority over it. And I want to tell you what he told me this time, not to call and pray for knees. He told me to take authority over the pain and to rebuke it. And so I'm in there rebuking my knee. Hey, quit that. Renounce that. Stop that in the name of Jesus. Y'all, no, you're healed in Jesus' name. And so I'm sitting there on the couch, and I can still feel the pain because it's dominant. And the Lord whispered to me, what would you do if you had complete healing right now? What would you do? Well, I said, Lord, I'd be celebrating you, be thanking you, praising you. And I'd go finish the yard. If this is the only window I got to do it. And you know what he told me? Do it. Act it out. And so I did. I didn't feel like it because there was dominant pain. But I went ahead and started praising the Lord and thanking him for the healing, celebrating him, giving him praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. My knee is healed. Thank you that the pain is gone and still there. And so you say, well, were you lying? No, I wasn't lying. You see, human fact can be that you're in pain. Human fact can be that you're depressed or discouraged. But I want to tell you, there's a greater truth than human fact. Divine truth trumps human fact. And so whenever a doctor tells you, well, this and this and this, you know, you can just say, well, thank you for the information. Okay, I'm depending on the Lord, you know. You can do that. And you respect the doctor and his information. He's trying to help you. But you don't have to limit yourself to that. It can be human fact. I've never told you to deny fact. Okay, that's just denial. The world tries to practice that. This is greater than that. It's faith in the Lord. It's dependence upon God. And so I want to tell you, you know what? I took authority over that pain. I rebuked it, renounced it in the name of Jesus. I could still feel it. And so he said, well, do what you would do if you were completely well. And so I started praising and celebrating the Lord. I could still feel the pain. And, well, the next thing I would do is I would go out there and mow the yard. So I started out to go mow the yard. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise ye the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that my knee... out healed, Lord Jesus. And I tell you, I limped my way to the outside and grabbed a lawnmower because I was going to kind of lean on it while I was pushing. Because you know what I could have done? I could have gone and got in bed and said it didn't work. But see, this is what I'm telling you. You resist the enemy. He doesn't always leave it the first time, but you keep swinging. Well, how many times do I have to do that? Well, you know what? You practice resisting the enemy until there's a manifestation of victory. You keep praising till there's a manifestation of victory. You don't just say, take one swing and quit. And so I'm just telling you what happened. As I'm outside behind that Honda mower and I'm doing this, I make a turn and I'm walking a little better. And by the time I finish the front yard, by the time I finish the backyard. Now, I have a tendency to try to be cute, but I'm just trying to show you a picture of what really happened. And you know what? I didn't have to even go to the doctor. I didn't have to have surgery for that. I got a touch from the Lord. And so that's the power of praise and thanksgiving. You say, well, I thought you were talking about swinging the sword. It's just the word of God. No, no, no. See, voice activated. Praise is a weapon. Jesus showed us that. And you know what? It's a weapon of our warfare. Prayer is a weapon. It's spoken out. I want to tell you, you have authority. And this is one of the ways of God. Let's look at 2 Timothy 1. Let's just look at verse 7. Okay. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity. Now, I want to tell you why Paul is saying this to Timothy. Now, this is Tim talk here. If I'm wrong, I'm sorry. But in meditating on this, this is what I see. Do you know why Paul spoke this to Timothy about fear? Because Timothy was being attacked by fear. I'm telling you, if you get attacked by anxiety or fear, There's no condemnation to you. There's no condemnation if sickness comes against you. Pastor Rich was attacked with a deadly disease this week. There's no condemnation to him. Matter of fact, the Lord showed himself mighty in his behalf. You get attacked with fear, there's no condemnation to you. It's an opportunity to receive from the Lord. That's what we tell people. It's an opportunity to receive. Let's get our focus on the Lord, our heart toward the Lord. Let's look up to the Lord from where our help comes. But he's saying to Timothy, God didn't give you a spirit of timidity, a fear. Fear doesn't come from God. It comes from the enemy. It's not from God. And I have to say that, and I think Paul said it this way, because a lot of people say, God's just punishing me. He just, this is my cross to bear. No, it ain't. Jesus bore one, so you didn't have to bear this one. He took authority. He conquered fear. And so, you know, different people have different battles in different arenas. But I want to tell you, it's the same Lord that gives the victory. It's the same enemy that sends the battle. Okay, thank you for that. But he has given us, this is what you have. If you've received Christ, you have this, a spirit of power, of love, and of a great peaceful mind. And so you got to catch this. It's got to be an allegiance in your heart, and you got to believe it and receive it. You got to plant this in here where that it becomes your name on it. It's not just a verse out of the Bible. It's something you're in there long enough where the Holy Spirit paints it on your heart. This is how God sees you. This is you. This is for you. Own it. Man, that makes a difference. And so you give allegiance in your heart to it. You believe it. You receive it. Faith springs forth out of that. And faith is, you say, well, where do I find it? It's just saying yes to God. It's your yes to his yes. Say yes to God. And you activate this power from the invisible to the visible by speaking it out loud. Even when it looks impossible, you say it. And I want you to repeat after me right now. Say, it is written.
It is written.
God has not given me a spirit of fear. He has given me a spirit of power. He has given me a spirit of love. He's given me a spirit of a peaceful mind. Now that's what I'm saying. Swing the sword, man. Swing the sword. That's what he's designed us to do. It's allegiance. Truth over emotional fact. When someone tells me they're sad, I don't tell them, no, you're not. I recognize it. If your heart's hurting, we got compassion for that. Man, stuff happens in this journey that causes an achy, breaky heart. We understand that. But I want to tell you something. We don't have to stay there. And you understand that Jesus heals. Jesus restores. Jesus renews. And fear is not from God. It's from the enemy. That power source that's in you, it's him in you. He's in you. That's what happens when you get saved. If you haven't been saved, you need to get saved tonight so this will make sense to you. Because it don't make sense to you if you don't have a spiritual mindset. But I'm telling you, when you receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit will witness to you, this is me, this is true, and you may not even understand it all, but you can practice it. And there'll be greater understanding coming. But that power source within you, I want to explain to you what power that is. It's referring to resurrection power. The very power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Do you think that's enough power for anything you face on this earth?
Yes.
Well, Jesus thought so. That's why you got it. Because it's him. He's the power. It's not you. It's him. And the Bible says he's able to do beyond all that I ask or think. And there's a part for us. I'm going to preach on this real soon. But it's us cooperating. Cooperating with the working of his power in us. He's not going to do it without your cooperation. You say, well, if God wants to do it, he'll just do it. No, he's not going to do it without you. He can, but he don't. He wants to do it with you, with your yes. Hey, he's given us a spirit of love. You are loved. I'm telling you, I said this the other day, and I ain't got over it yet, that you are so loved that he's pleased with you. Now, sometimes we know parents can love us and be displeased with us. Yeah, I know they love me, but boy, I'm telling you, it ain't very good right now. It's not that way with God. It's not that way. I want to tell you what he said to his son Jesus. Out loud, amplified it twice. Out loud, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Now you understand Jesus pleased Father in every way. We can't. But I want to tell you, when you get saved, you get the righteousness of Jesus in you. And when Father looks at you, he sees the rightness of Jesus in you. Do you see that? Boy, if you see that, it'll excite you. But I'm telling you, so when Father looks at you, I want to tell you, he not only loves you, he's as pleased with you as he is with Jesus. That's how much he loves you. And so that's why that when you do mess up in your Cheerios, you can run to him. That's what he wants. He doesn't want you running around like a little dog with a tail between the legs. That's condemnation. He paid the price for you to be free from that. Run to him so that he can touch you. All right? Pastor Rich would say, don't wait till you go in the hospital to have time to seek him. Because he has said that to me before. Take time to receive. I've had people tell me, I just don't have time for that. I want to tell you. I show people how to meditate. Get that word in the heart. They'll say, I don't have time for that. You don't have time for victory. You're saying you don't have time for Jesus. You don't have time for the overcoming work that he got destined for you. That's what you're saying. You know what you're saying? You're saying no. I'm telling you, say yes. Whatever it takes to receive. It's not by our works. He's already worked it. Nothing can separate you from his love. Bible says not anything spiritual, not anything physical, not even yourself. You say, well, you don't understand how bad or what I've done. No, it don't matter. I'm telling you, the blood of Jesus is greater than whatever you messed up in. The blood of Jesus is greater than your failure. I'm just saying to you, not even your sin can separate you from the love of God. You say, well, I don't understand it. Well, that's the way the world operates. That's what religion says. But I want to tell you, the Bible says something different. The Bible says you are totally and completely forgiven. You're so forgiven that all your sins are thrown into the depths of the sea. He remembers them no more. All your sins is thrown as far as the east is from the west. He remembers them no more. You say, well, I just did this. That's covered too. Yeah, well, wait a minute. Now, you talking about the future? Yeah. You're so forgiven, you're forgiven in your future already. I had a brother tell me, well, I just don't see that. I said, well, see this. When Jesus died, all your sins were in the future. Yeah. Hello? And I want to tell you, the Bible says he paid an extreme price once and for all of our sins. And so you say, well, let me just make it clear because I'm a little short on time. Let me make it real clear. Your failure does not change Father's heart towards you. He loves you completely. The blood of Jesus totally satisfied God's anger. So he's not mad at you. Ever again. I got a sermon for that. Oh, I'm so excited to speak that one. There is no condemnation to those who believe. So if you're sensing condemnation, that's not from Jesus. That's from the enemy. Now, I want to tell you what sin will do. You say, well, it don't matter. Yeah, it matters. Now, let me tell you what. See, sin won't change Father's heart towards you, but this is what sin will do. It will change your heart toward God. It'll change your heart toward God. You know what happens? Your heart gets harder. There's a hardening of the heart. Your heart becomes more insensitive to the Father. You still know everything you know, but it ain't fresh here. That makes a difference. You're insensitive to his voice. There's a dullness that comes to your soul. And I want to tell you what sin is. It's destructive. God doesn't want you to sin because it's destructive. It's disturbing. It's deception. Don't act like you can't be deceived. But I'll tell you this. When believers are believing and remembering and receiving how loved they are, because that's what God wants. He wants you to remember and receive how loved you are. Then I want to tell you, the fiery darts still come. I don't care how spiritual you are. how mature you are, the spirit, those fiery darts still come to your brain. He shoots them. The enemy does. And those fiery darts come. But I want to tell you, they have a tendency to fall short when you're convinced and confident in walking in the love of Jesus. When you know how loved you are and you're remembering how loved you are, those fiery darts don't have the effect. Wait, there's more. When you're walking in the love of Jesus and you're convinced how loved you are, temptation still comes. You see, it's not a sin to be tempted. It's only when that temptation's conceived and until it's embraced, okay, given allegiance to, that it becomes sin. Temptation is not sin by itself. You can be tempted. That's part of the fiery dart situation. But I'm telling you, when you're convinced how loved you are, temptation is weak, my friend. As a matter of fact, you can laugh at it. Where did that come from? Well, it's from the enemy. Get out of here. Huh? Are you listening? So that's why we preach a lot on the love of God. Bask in the beloved. It's talking about Jesus, because you are beloved in Him. You're beloved because He's the beloved. And be convinced and confident and remember and receive and practice believing and speaking how loved you are. The peaceful mind is the same thing. Let me talk about the peaceful mind and I'll just wrap up this. His peace is not the world's peace. That's what He said. It's not the absence of conflict. That's the way the world describes peace. Boy, if I could just get away. If I could just get away from here. This bunch driving me, man. If I could just go to the beach. Huh? I need some beach ministry. Get me at the beach away from all this stuff and I'll have peace. See, that's the way the world describes it. I want to tell you how your pastor missed on this. Because every time that they'd go to take my blood pressure, because at one time, now they're taking me off two more blood pressure medications. Is that exciting? I'm celebrating. But I want to tell you something. I've been on a bunch of meds, friends, and the Lord, I'm getting off of them. It's very exciting. I mean, not by myself, doctor agreeing with me, saying, yeah, do this. But whenever I'd get my blood pressure taken, because sometimes it was so high, you know, they'd want to keep me. And so I'd get my blood pressure taken. I'd say, wait, let me go fishing here. I'd picture being out on the lake, you know, beautiful, still water, sunrise. And I'd say, go ahead, take it now. They'd take the blood pressure and they'd go, oh my goodness. I'd say, oh man, I caught a big one. It got me excited. Do it again. But I'll tell you how I messed up. That's not what we're to focus on. That's the way the world describes peace, beach ministry. Give me a big glass of Kool-Aid and on the beach, waves. No, I'll tell you what the Lord showed me. Instead of picturing in my mind going fishing, you know what I need to picture? The cross. Because that's the obedience that sets us free. Not by us, it's by Him. And you picture the obedience of Christ on the cross. Do you see what I'm saying? That's how we practice receiving. And I want to tell you, that's the victory in our spiritual battle of the mind, is you picture Jesus on the cross and all this stuff being placed on Him, and He's your freedom and He's your victory. And so I'm just telling you about peace, that there is such amazing peace of Jesus that in the middle of a storm, and we got testimonies all through the building, Jesus can give you peace when you're being rejected. Jesus can give you peace when other people are misunderstanding you and saying all kind of junk about you. Jesus can give you peace when your checkbook says you're in trouble. Are you with me? Jesus can give you peace in the middle of a family soap opera. Now I want to tell you, that's real. And He says it's already in you. We get to practice believing it and receiving it and speaking it. His peace mounts garrison. It's a fortress. It's a refuge. It's a holy place. It's a safe room. Shalom peace will fill your mind. His name is Jesus. I don't care what the name of the fear is. I don't care what the doctor calls this or calls that. It's a lie. It's already defeated. It's weak. It may be a human fact. But there's a greater reality, because His name is above every single name. His name is above it. And so this is where we're supposed to park it. Now, the next time I preach on this, which is you're going to be a part three, apparently. I'm going to expose the lying lion. Because the Bible says that the enemy's like a lion. I'm going to go ahead and give you a heads up. If it says he's like a lion, he's not a lion. He's a fake. He's a pretender. He like the little kids that show up on your doorstep wanting candy. They got little costumes on. Roar. Ain't you cute? I'm telling you, the roaring one is not a real lion. He's a fake. He's like a lion. He's pretending to be a lion. And next week, I'm going to show you who he's pretending to be. Man, it'll make you be strong and be bold and tell him where to go and how to get there. Are you interested in victory? Because Jesus made a way of victory for you. Let me pray for you right now. And I've gone a little over. Thank you for your patience. Lord Jesus, cause these simple principles to be truths like they got handles on that we can take with us and we can begin to practice and to put in order so that we seek you first and the kingdom and your righteousness on the inside of us. And we trust that all these things will be added unto us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You've declared that when we submit to you and resist the enemy will flee. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that according to your word, he's a defeated foe. And you're our victory in this life as well as the next. You're our victory here. You've given us your word so that we can be overcomers and more than conquerors. Thank you for the mighty weapons of warfare that you've given us. We declare and decree your victory. Holy Spirit, come and plant these truths deep in our heart so that we can get to know your word, your ways, and we can confess it in Jesus' name. And all the saints said,
Amen.